This episode is for you if you are looking to enhance high performance, which I'm sure you are, foster balance and focus and productivity in your home and specifically in your home office. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting with Jane Langhoff. Jane Langhoff is an internationally accredited feng shui master and founder of Feng Shui Concepts. Since 2008, she has transformed homes, workplaces, and community spaces by integrating traditional feng shui with modern design. She is on a mission to create beautiful spaces that inspire positivity, abundance, and success. I personally couldn't be more excited to have you today on the Online Business by Design podcast. Jane, welcome.
Thank you, Ivana. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we all can't wait to learn more. I have here a community created, gathered. We are constant learners, curious about new stuff, and we always want to get better, to pursue our dreams, make impact and money. And let's just dive right into it. And please explain us first, because I think, or I like to believe, that not many know what feng shui really is, because there are like so many myths around feng shui.
Yes, that's true. So feng shui is the ancient Chinese art of balancing the energy in your spaces. It's about your relationship with your environment and your surroundings and how the energy in your home, workplace, and living areas can impact you on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. So feng shui has been around for thousands of years. And yes, there are a lot of myths and misconceptions about feng shui, like that it's all about decorating with ornaments, Chinese ornaments or tacky little objects, but it's really about energy flow and how we can harness that positive energy flow to help us in our, to create more abundance, success, to help our creativity, productivity and focus and that sort of, all that sort of thing.
I can't wait to dive deeper into this, because I also heard you in other interviews talking about the killing the husband section and the coffin and things like that. So guys, this is going to be super, super interesting. But first, I would like to know, how did you get into feng shui? How did you learn about it? Or what inspired you personally to dive deep and teach our Western world about it?
Yeah, well, I actually started my career as an accountant. So I started in the corporate world for a very long time. And I was at a crossroads when I had my first child. And a friend of mine suggested that I go and see this psychic spirit medium, who was amazing. And I thought, okay, why not? Let's see what she has to say. As soon as I walked into her office, she said to me, "Your corporate career is over. And now you need to study interior design. And that's going to be really good for you." And it had been something that I'd thought about for a long time when I was renovating and building a home with my husband. And I did that. I started studying. I loved it. A year into the course, there was a break called by the college. I went back to the psychic and she said to me, "Right now, during this break in the course, you need to go and study feng shui and combine the two, and it's going to be great." And let me tell you, Ivana, once I opened those feng shui books, I was hooked. I knew that that was where I needed to be. And so that then started me on my mission to use feng shui to help people create abundant homes.
This is incredible. What do you, I love that you went to a psychic and that you followed the advice, so to say, which is like a huge leap. I think first, many people would question it. You just went for it. What do you see as an abundant home?
So I see that as a home where we've got harmonious relationships. People are getting on well. There's not too much screaming. Things are traveling smoothly throughout the home. You can attract opportunities into your life. There's not too many blockages. Health is good. There's great vitality. Yeah, and that people feel happy in a way.
Now, some would say, like, but that's up to me to create it,
Yes.
how I communicate, how I behave, what I bring home or not bring home from work or from wherever we are, and how we keep ourselves sane and the rules we create about our home. But now, today, we are learned to enhance that, to level up through feng shui. Where do we start looking at things?
That's a really good point, Ivana, and I want to address that because you are 100% correct. It is about how you act. How you act affects what happens in your life, how you think, feel, and act. But that is also influenced by your environment and your surroundings. And so it's about getting that energy flow right, looking to the magic of feng shui to make those to help you attract those opportunities and make those things happen. But then how you behave is the other side of things as well. And then when you combine that, the actions, the positive mindset, the habits with the beautiful feng shui, that's when the magic really happens. So where do you start? The entrance is a really good point. That's the gateway of wealth when it comes to feng shui. So we
Okay,
want to
tell
make
us
sure that
more.
the end so we want to make sure that the entrance is clear of obstacles, that you can see where to go to the front door, that you've got clear signage, that the energy and opportunities can find you. So let's start there. Let's make sure that there's no clutter at the front entrance. We don't have shoes and things scattered around, that there is a place for everything, and that things are ordered. So the really important in the front entrance that you have something beautiful that draws energy into your home. So it could be beautiful artwork opposite your entrance. Don't have a mirror directly opposite your entrance, because a mirror will reflect energy and opportunities straight back out again. So we want to bring in that positive energy through having something beautiful opposite the entrance, or where in view of the entrance, and have a space within the entrance where the energy can be held and be contained. And then we want the energy to meander through the rest of the home, not move too quickly in straight lines. So one of the big no-nos from a feng shui perspective is to have the front door in direct alignment with the back door. And the reason why is because it's said that energy and wealth will leak straight out of the home. So what do you do about that? You slow that energy down. So it's about slowing the energy down, feeding it through the home.
Like an obstacle that we place in between so it does not flow straight through.
Yes, but not
Correct.
an obstacle that it blocks the energy. So something just to slow it down. It could be something like a beautiful console table along a hallway and artwork. It could be light fittings, circular light fittings that help to slow that energy down. Could even be at the end if you've got a big sliding door that's directly opposite the front door, which I often see with my clients, that you might hang a sheer curtain there to contain that energy and stop it from escaping. It could be a plant at the somewhere along the hallway or at the end of the room.
I love that because we are working so much on creating abundance, attracting abundance. And then perhaps by just not knowing, we let it just flow through our house and be gone again, or mirror it back if the mirror is
Yes.
right in opposite of the entrance. So,
Yeah.
how about because I do see a lot of those Western concepts, I believe, and I don't see it here. We have it actually, which I think it is an exception in our house in Curaçao. What about lofts? This kind of lofts, like I enter from my balcony, I open up that huge barn door that is like it's a specifically designed, I think, for this entrance. I've never seen such a thing before, and not here on the island. And I enter basically my living room. I will take your word very serious and tell my partner to get those shoes out of the way, and he will know why because now we have evidence that they have nothing to do there. But then it goes straight in a line into dining room, kitchen. The back door is on the right side. How do we contain this energy there in our space?
So it's a very, so it's a voluminous space, isn't it? Where the ceiling is very high.
Yes.
Yeah, so we need to then bring something down from the ceiling if that's possible, like if you can have some light fitting that might come down. And then yeah, it's a little bit difficult to contain that energy, isn't it? When you've got
It's a
that.
huge
So
space.
it's yeah, and then you can see everything. So it's about creating these little moments and spaces and areas of containment within that open space. So it might be through having a big, a lovely lounge area that has a large rug that helps to ground that energy. And then near the door, you have that something like the artwork, the console table, lamps, for example, that when you walk into the home, there are these moments that help you to pause and appreciate the energy in the home.
I hear you. I think, let me know if you agree with that. I think, as a highly sensitive person, I am very sensitive to people, energy, spaces. And I am shouting loud since we moved in here about 10 months ago that I want to have a lamp there and a rug here, actually, as you said it. Do you believe that there is something in our deeper knowing, even if we don't know about the concept of feng shui, that we don't know anything, that our bodies, our spiritual, energetical being is calling for this rest, abundance, for these prosperous spaces without knowing it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there are things that you can do with you in your environment that really honor that. Like even something simple as having plants in the home really helps to make you feel more calmer and at peace because you've got that connection to nature, which is something that at you know, in the depths of our being that we want, that humans crave for, not just these plastic surfaces and man-made things that we need to have things like that connect us to nature and help us to feel grounded.
I think I've been sensing this all around in every hotel room that I'm not comfortable in, even if it's pretty. I sometimes
Yes.
couldn't really tell why not. It was something was bothering me. It didn't make me feel home, not safe, not secure, not just being kind of like I do not belong here. Is this what the concept of feng shui does?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I
I
feel like
think
that when I
that's
go to a hotel too, a lot of the
yeah.
time.
I think you can do a lot of work there. I can tell you a few. I
Well,
direct you.
the air conditioning and the airtight windows don't help, you know, not having access to external ventilation is a big thing. So that's something that we can add in a home office environment if we're looking to, or in a home in general, if we're looking to improve the energy. Is something as simple as opening the windows and drawing the curtains, letting in that natural light and air, really helpful?
That would be my next question, as like the pandemic has brought it quite in a quite big wave, where lots of people started working in their bedrooms. At first, before we created home offices, like in those, in those big numbers. And I insisted on having in our new house, or I had it on Creed already, but I had to reinvent our guest room to an office. So there was no guest room anymore. Because I want to make that separation between my working space and my bedroom. What about having the office in the bedroom? Can we even create it? Can they coexist?
I think they can. There are people that just don't have the ability to have that spare room to create into a home office, which I think is great that you did that because who needs a spare room? We don't need visitors. We need a space to work that can help us to be productive, right? But with the bedroom, as long as you can have a little bit of separation between where you're sleeping and the working area, that the working area can be tidied up effectively before you go to sleep, and you can put things away so that you're not basking in bathing in that energy all night while you're sleeping, because you absorb the energy around you while you're sleeping. So it's important to make sure that that what you've got around you is that you're observant of that, and that you realize that what you've got around you actually affects you while you're sleeping, which is the majority of time that you're spending in your home. So I would say try and put things in drawers or put things in cupboards where you can, so that it's at least a clean space, that there's you don't wake up and there's a it's chaos of office stuff.
Pile of books, notebooks, documents, laptop, key lights.
And we try and keep the electrical equipment to a minimum if we can as well, especially in a bedroom. So ideally you don't want to have TVs. It's best if you don't have your devices next to you as well while you sleep, because that's like a mini TV, electric blankets, things like that. Try and keep those to a minimum, because that interferes with body's electromagnetic fields. Will interfere
with
with
our
your
sleep.
health,
You just said that
with your sleep and with your health.
We absorb energy while we sleep.
Absolutely.
How do we experience this the next day? Like, how can a day, like, how can a morning feel without electronic devices in the room and with electronic devices in the room? And do we see the difference really clear and fast?
Well, I think it's something that you can just try and see. If you've got if that's something that you surround yourself with, it's not going to be helpful. You're getting zapped all night with electrical equipment if you've got all that around you. So it's energy that is too yang in a room that should otherwise be yin and more peaceful. So it's about setting up that environment to be as supportive as you can without all of those devices, and helping you to feel peaceful and healthy and nurtured, and know that you're doing your best to support the energy in your surroundings.
I hear you. I hear you. It makes total sense to me. I mean, I sometimes sleep here for weather reasons, and the bathroom is just too windy sometimes when the windows are open on the other side. And perhaps I do feel that I wake up in my office, even if it's clean, it's neat. There is not much standing around here, but the devices, those lights, the computer, the phone, everything is around here. Yeah. How do we create a home office? Or what are, actually, let me ask different. What are absolute no-goes in a home office?
Well, look, some people just don't have the choice when it comes to setting up a home office. So I don't like to say there's an absolute no-go, because it really depends. It just depends on what you've got. And feng shui, the way I practice feng shui, is about maximizing the energy of what you have in your space. So what I will do is tell you what the ideals are from a feng shui perspective. And that is to have your back towards a solid wall. Because when you have your back towards a solid wall, you've got security and protection behind you, which is good for supporting your ideas and your authority. You want to have, if you imagine your a room with a door in the corner, that you are seated in the space that's opposite, like diagonally opposite that door, because that is the area where the energy is most contained. It's like the wealth corner of the room. So we want to be in that space that's diagonally opposite the door, but with your back towards a solid wall, with a view out to nature to enhance your creativity.
Okay, so let's reframe. If I'm sitting right here, right now, with a solid wall behind me.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. So if you've got doors and you've got open space and people walking behind you, that's very disturbing for your energy. So you want to have that solid wall if you can, rather than having a door.
Is in the left corner.
Yes. Okay, so somebody can walk in and so the idea is that you would kind of swap that around if you could, but it depends on how your home is set up with windows and that sort of thing, and whether that works in terms of glare on your computer.
So I see.
So ideally you want to have a window that you can look out of to see nature as well, because that's enhancing for your creativity.
Yes, I have that window, but I think I also have that window on this side. Like I have two
Yes.
windows in my office. So
Yeah.
the reason why I need to sit here and I can't have that. Now, as you said, the door diagonally is because of the radiation of the sun, how it sends in the morning. So I just get blinded by it, even if there are
Yeah.
curtains or
Yes, and so this is why I say it depends. And so you really need to work with your environment, the orientation of your home, which where the sun comes in, where the wind is blowing, all that sort of thing. So in a home office, you just make do with that, keep your door closed, tell people, hang a do not disturb sign up there. I know some people have kids and the kids will barge in when you're in an important meeting, which some people can't help. Put a lock on the door so that you just have to sometimes do things to compensate for an environment that you can't get 100% right from a feng shui perspective.
In this
But
case,
that's
I think
okay.
I'm pretty right.
As I said, it's about making the most of what you've got. It's about empowering people, not creating fear, not thinking, oh, my door's over there, this is really bad luck. Things are not going to go well for me. It's just about, okay, I've done the best that I can. Now it's time for me to go.
I hear you. Okay, so it's
Yeah.
really about leveling it up and making the best out of the situation and not having the need or the urge or the fear that we have to renovate or recreate an entire home.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you are doing a renovation or recreating your home, that is a good time to speak to a feng shui master. Because that is the best time that you can really create an environment that supports you in all aspects. So you can get the home right in terms of the energy map of the home. You can make sure that you're facing your favorable directions based on your birth dates. There are so many things that we can go into.
Oh my God, I love this. Love, love. I love, love, love this. What about what I always feel very drained, or although I think they look beautiful, is bookshelves. High packed bookshelves. The vision of a library genuinely makes me happy. Me being in that room actually is something that is not comfortable. Do shelves like bookshelves, clothing, like any kind of cupboards in your office influence the energy?
Depends on what you've got inside there. Generally, when things are behind cupboards, it's going to impact you less. But if you put all those cupboards in order, you're going to feel more energized. When you've got clutter around you, especially in an office, it's very easy to accumulate clutter in an office. It really drags you down, helps it makes you feel a bit depressed in a way. Creates stagnant energy and ties you down. So when you clear that clutter, it really helps you to feel lighter, freer, more productive, and more focused. You can,
So
I mean, that's one of the simplest things that you can do to elevate the energy in your space from a feng shui perspective.
yeah, so less is better. What about our
L
desk?
less is better, but it doesn't, but you don't need to go to the minimalism. So feng shui is not minimalism. You can still have your stuff that you love, but you need to make sure that what you have around you actually supports you and makes you feel good. So I love that analogy that you mentioned about the books and how you feel great around books, but then what you can what sometimes when it's too much, it can be stifling. It also depends on the books that are around you as well. So you want to make sure that you're surrounding yourself in books that are actually adding wisdom to your life. You know, surrounding yourself in the wisdom of books, I think is a great thing.
I see you because now what immediately comes to my mind is the thought of those series of old books that have this very specific cover that look all the same. You don't know what is inside, that are mainly either in an old library or used as a home decoration. And I think this was the threat to my eye. It's to my energy when I see those. Yeah, makes total
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah, best to use something that's have something on display that's useful in some way.
Yeah. What about lightning?
Lighting? So lighting, ideally you want to have some natural light if you can, if you've got the luxury of having windows in your home office. In terms of artificial lighting, fluorescent lighting is not ideal. It's too blue and white. It's best to have lighting that looks more like daylight. Natural light. Warm lights in general are better than
Yellow,
cold.
would it be what we call the yellow bulbs that
Yeah, so well, as you go to sleep later in the night, you want to have that warmer light for sure. So that's when they're very yellow. You can get those little yellow book lights. They're great for before you go to bed if you want to do some reading. But just in general, we want warmer lights rather than cool lights and lights that resemble daylight, especially if you're working during the day. As it's starting to go through to later, if you can increase the temperature of those lights to make them warmer, that's better. So that can be, if you've got a desk light that, and I think you mentioned that your audience do some digital work, so they probably have one of those lights where they can change the temperature of the light. Then we want to make it warmer later on, so that it's not disturbing your sleep.
Okay. There is so much to it. There's like a abundance of knowledge and an abundance of what we all can do in our best way. So now I also got the concept of not having to move out of here because when you started talking, it was like, ooh, I have a loft and she's that my whole prosperity, my abundance, every opportunity I attract goes like straight through. I was like, okay, close the window. Short panic and chaos moment, but I do see the high value of the small adjustments we can do so easily that will make a difference because I used to feel that at all times. I just didn't know where to place it, why I feel some sort of weird in certain rooms where everybody else seems to be fine except for me, or people are not talking about it. It goes both ways.
Yeah, well, there's another concept that I can talk about, which is the energy map of a home. And so every home has a unique energy map that's like a horoscope that a feng shui master will analyze in a home, depending on the orientation, which way the place is facing, to the degree, the orientation, the floor plan, and when the building was constructed, and also who's living in the home in terms of their personal birth data and that sort of thing. And what we do is we work out what the energy map is of that specific home, which is unique for every home. And this will then determine where the positive and negative energy set, or will help us to calculate where the positive and negative energy sectors are of a home. Like, where is the wealth sector? Where is the best energy for harmony, health, and relationships? Where is the toxic energy that relates to illness? Where is the energy that relates to conflict? And look to see what you can do from a feng shui perspective using the five elements that we use in Chinese metaphysics. Those five elements are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And each of those elements relates to a particular color, shape, and material. And so we use those elements to balance the energies in certain areas of your home. So if a room doesn't feel right, it might be lacking in a particular element. And we're working on the intangible energy level at this point. So a lot of those recommendations and tips that I gave you earlier, we're looking at the physical aspects, but you also need to look at that energetic layer, that intangible energy. And that's where combining the physical with the intangible energy really makes a huge difference from a feng shui perspective. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, that it's not just about, there's some in feng shui we read about this fixed grid of energy where the front door is the career sector and that sort of thing, and every home has the same fixed grid of energy. That's actually a very simplified version of feng shui that is not the real deal and was brought out to the West to make feng shui more palatable to Western audiences and to make it more understandable and popular.
Understandable, easier accessible because it does
Yeah.
sound like a big project, which I personally would find extremely interesting to do once because I think it would be opening up so many doors and so much new knowledge and so much new concepts on how we can be in our rooms. And I'm just a big fan of it. And you have written a book, which is
Yes.
Feng Shui, a homeowner's guide to abundance. Would you
Yes,
like
that's
to
right.
shortly give us a little insight on what? Yes.
That's my book. So this book is gives you a room by room guide of what to do within your home to maximize abundance where you can.
In all of our
So,
rooms, like a child's room, bedroom, kitchen.
yes, that's right. It's a walkthrough of your home. So there are two parts of my book. So one of them explains what feng shui is about and explains the principles and gives you a bit of background. And the part two of my book, which is the fun part, is a room by room exploration and gives you a lot of tips and guidelines on what to do and busts a lot of myths as well about feng shui and the taboos and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Where can we get it?
So you can find, if you're external to Australia, you can find the book through online suppliers like Booktopia, Amazon, that sort of thing. And if you want to get an instant download of my book, you can go to my website, which is fengshuiconcepts.com.au, and my ebook is available there,
Love it. Thank
the
you so
ebook
much for
version.
this. Before I ask you my last question, Jane, I would love to know what is it about this killing husband section and the coffin? Can you take us through that and
Oh, sure.
where these these phrases come from? What that
Yes. There are these very mystical, scary concepts that are out there about feng shui. And I've mentioned them in other talks and podcasts and interviews that I've done before. Okay, so the killing husband section is a it relates to feng shui fire formula. And there is a particular area where it's not good to be having the stove, and that all depends on the layout of your home. So that's where I was talking about that energy map. That's where we need to actually analyze that to figure out where areas like that are. And so we want to avoid certain areas for stove placement if we can. With the coffin position, that refers to the position of your bed, having your bed in direct alignment with the door. So we want to avoid having the bed in like that you're laying in bed and that when you look up, the door is straight in front of you. So in a bedroom, we want to have the bed, like I mentioned in the home office, the bed should be in the area that's in the area of the room that's diagonally opposite the door, but against a solid wall. So that when you're laying in bed that you can diagonally see the door and who's coming in. So the coffin position doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to die.
Okay.
And if your bed is in that position, you want to make sure that you keep the door closed at night if you can't move it anywhere else. But ideally, we don't want to have that position because the energy rushes straight through to the bed. It's not an auspicious arrangement at all.
Okay. Do we have any of those scary areas in our home office?
No.
Good. So work is always safe. Love it. So
Well, you
don't.
don't want to there. Okay, so we don't want to have you don't want to have your back in if you're in an office where you're at the end of a long corridor. You want to have some protection there, so it could be through a partition. Otherwise, there's like backstabbing. So
Oh,
that
okay.
yeah, so we want to have some protection. We want to have something like a partition behind you, or even a solid back chair would be helpful. A higher chair
A
to
high
protect
chair.
you.
All
Yeah.
right. Yeah. Thank you.
High
Thank you
back
so much
chair.
for giving us all this insight and this inspiration. For going to my last question, how would you like to spend your old years?
Doing feng shui.
Yeah.
They're gonna wheel me out of my office. I'm just gonna keep doing this forever. I love it.
All right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm obsessed with what I do. I love it. I'll just keep talking about it and spreading the positive energy where I can because I think the world needs it right now. You know, there are a lot of people that are feeling really insecure and out of control. And I think helping people to be empowered and improving, helping people to giving people the tools to improve the energy in their lives, I think is really important work, and I would just want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. I think we are in a time where people are seeking consciousness, presence, where people want to get the best out of what there is. And we will find you in the future doing feng shui too, but where we can find you today.
Today, you can find me. Well, I'm actually very active on Instagram, so you can find me at Feng Shui Concepts, and you can also check out my website, which is fengshuiconcepts.com.au, and there's a free download on there at the moment, which is the my top 10 tips to create an abundant home, plus links to my book and blog articles and things like that.
Excellent. I will make sure that these links are very easy accessible to you. You just have to go with one click and get what you need, whether it's the book, the tips, or a direct contact to Jane. I want to say thank you so much for enlightening us, and I can't wait to share this with the world.
You're welcome. Thank you. Lovely to be here, Ivana.